This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Vinny and Haiti, put your headphones in. And ignore your coworkers. 105.7 The Fan.
It's a close loss against a good team. You know, those are going to happen in the National Football League. We've got to win. We got to win some close games. You know, we got to hold on to leads. That's something that we'll obviously be thinking about next time we get in that situation. We practice that. Right. Gus was at practice today. Gus looked good. You know, he's out there. He's done a really good job with his rehab. He's worked really hard. You know, it's obviously just the first day back in quite a long time. We're going to have to, you know, see where it goes, but it was certainly a good start.
The fans paying their money to see us go out there and perform the right way, go out there and get W's for them, not just us. So, of course, you know, I feel some way about that. I feel like the team do, too. We all know what was going on last year, what was going on with us last year. But no excuses. You know, we're just going to bounce back. We're going to see what goes on Sunday.
It's Lamar Jackson talking about some various subjects relating to his team. Back in practice yesterday, getting ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he was talking about playing against Cincy last year, where the eventual AFC champions had Baltimore's number. And one of those blowout wins was against Lamar.
Yeah.
And the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium. And as you would expect, he would say, Vinny, not going to harp on it. That's last year.
No doubt.
Doesn't really matter what's happening at 8:20 on Sunday night at M&T Bank Stadium on national television.
Right. How many guys were playing then are not on the team? To me, that's like just history. It means nothing.
Well, I also talked about the losing streak at home, which has now reached 5 games.
It's actually 2.
Well, technically, it is a 5-game losing streak at M&T Bank Stadium, unless you want to count the preseason.
Well, I guess, Bob, if you're going to count, you know, like your preseason streak year after year after year, then you got to say it's 5. They've lost 5 in a row at home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the point is they're regular season games, but Lamar didn't play in all of them.
Right.
But that was brought up because it's become somewhat of a narrative. A big one, well, we'll see what happens Sunday night, because if they lose again, then it's going to be, well, it's a 6-game losing streak. And if they lose by 1 score, and then these 1-score losses are going to start to mount up and become a big part of the criticism of the Ravens. Also, Lamar talking about the first division game. So the Ravens have played 4. They split them both against the AFC East, which is, you know, an interesting division. You've got Buffalo, considered the best team in the conference, depending on who you talk to. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Miami, 3-1, even though Tua's going to be out for a while. New England was a playoff team last year, minus their starting quarterback now, Mac Jones. And the Jets are a team that's trying to find its way, even though they somehow managed to win 2 games. So you went 2-2 against the AFC East.
Yes.
What does that say about the Ravens before you get to the AFC North, where everyone's 2-2 except Pittsburgh, who's 1-3?
Yeah, I think the thing about the first quarter, Bob, is you're kind of finding yourself, you're finding roles for people, you're finding out what we can and can't do, especially because nobody plays in the preseason anymore. So I think it's, you're learning a lot about yourself. What have we learned thus far about the Ravens? You know, I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, we can look at, and we can say, all right, I think the biggest thing that they have lacking right now on offense, Bob, is They don't have the legit running back. I think that's a Keller form. You know, because when Justice Hill is in there, the running game looks like it should look. When anybody else is in, it does not. You know, so, and he's not playing this week. So I think that's going to hurt. And then the consistency of the receiving group, you know, they're young and they just got to be more consistent. You know, defensively, to me, it's all about, because the secondary is damn good. The inside linebackers, shaky, and the pass rush, shaky. You know, and, you know, the things that, all right, the things we learned in the first quarter of the season, how do we change it? How do we fix it? You know, that's what you got to do now. It's because, Bob, it's not like all of a sudden, you know, we're getting Bruce Smith and Terrell Suggs coming in, you know, to rush the pass. That ain't changing. You know, inside linebacker, it is who it is. I didn't notice, Bob, that one of the things they did change after the Miami game, remember how they'd always have, they were big into disguise the first couple weeks. Remember they'd have 11 up and guys would be running out, running back. They cut that crap out. They got a lot simpler on defense, you know, and they don't have the mental errors. And I think they probably figured, all right, you know what? We can't do that. Right. At least right now, we cannot do that because, you know, it's hurting us more than it's helping our defense.
Now, you also heard John Harbaugh in the opening of the show there talking about Gus Edwards back at practice yesterday for the first time in over a year. Slowly but surely has gotten himself onto the field. I guess, you know, you have to decide whether or not he's ready to go off the pup anytime soon, but playing against Cincinnati, not happening. Question is, when will he be ready to go? And if what you, and you're not impressed right now with Dobbins's burst.
No.
So wouldn't we expect more of the same from Gus Edwards? And it goes back to what we talked about. Just the return of health does not necessarily mean guys are going to be where they're supposed to be. I mean, is Marcus Peters close to where he was before the injury?
Well, I think Peters is better and better every week. I think Peters looks pretty good. Now, with Gus Bus, they got 21 days to decide, you know, to bring him up or IR for the rest of the year. So, you know, we'll see. And it's not like he's playing this week. You know, I mean, it's a process. And because we haven't had anybody that's come back right away, Bob, and then boom, you know, they're playing. You know, you look at Dobbins, you look at our boy Ronnie Stanley. You know, none of them have just like, practice this week, he's playing this week. No, you know, it's been a process. So I expect Gus Bus, you know, if he plays, you know, it's not this week, maybe next week, or probably more so like the third week, I would think.
Now, Ronnie Stanley did practice fully yesterday, did it last Wednesday, did it last Thursday, and then Friday did not participate at all and did not play in the game. We're a week removed, more or less, practicing again. Vinny, the momentum's got to be chugging towards game time here. Like, suiting up, being a left tackle when they kicked the ball off at M&T Bank Stadium Sunday night.
I kind of got the feeling, Bob, that this is a little bit like Dobbins. You know, like when Dobbins came back, we all thought, well, you know, like the media people who cover them, you know, like during the season, you know, Dobbins talked to us, he's playing. All right, then he didn't play that week, but then he played the following week. Ronnie Stanley talked last week, didn't play. I'm expecting him that, you know, he's playing.
Vinny and Eddie, 105.7 The Fan, total request Thursday. You pick the songs at 410-583-1057. Starting at 11 o'clock, we get your votes for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in a couple of hours or so. The Orioles wrap up their regular season yesterday, splitting a doubleheader with the Toronto Blue Jays. Orioles finish 83-79, first winning record since 2016. Far exceeding expectations, 31 games better than they were in 2021. Mike Elias met with the media. We played some of his cuts. We'll play them later in the show as time permits. Rich Dubroff will be joining us at 11:30 to talk about now the offseason, because it's now about what you are going to do to make this team 10 games better than they were this year. Because 93 wins put you in the playoffs, I would assume, in 2023. And challenge maybe for division supremacy. So the tools are there. You still need to add some pieces. but you have young studs. Your best pitcher hasn't even pitched yet, and that's Grayson Rodriguez, your prospect. And if we can assume, and I will, if he's anything like Henderson and Rutschman, what they have been, living up to the hype, you've got yourself a potential ace there. So the future is bright for the Orioles. It's going to be a very entertaining offseason. For the first time in a long time, the Orioles are actually going to be an active participant in it. So we'll talk to Rich about that later in the show. Maryland on Saturday at noon, CQ Stadium. Take it off Purdue. Terps looking for their fifth win. 3-point favorites over the Boilermakers. Boilermakers like to toss it around.
Yeah,
Maryland has a hard time getting to the quarterback, so we'll talk to Damon Evans, the athletic director of the Terps, about that coming up top of the hour. Maryland basketball, practicing. Midnight Madness not in its traditional form and hasn't been for a while, but Kevin Willard's first season is about a month or so away, so we'll talk to Damon about that and more. If you want to get in, you can. Your concerns about the Bengals, your interest in the Orioles offseason, what do they need to take another step or two up the standings in the American League East, and how closely are you paying attention to Maryland? Do they need to be 7-1 before you start giving a crap? We're talking about that and more here on The Fan.
Until the Gold Club opens.
Make it rain.
Vinny and Haney.
Better grab an umbrella.
1057 The Fan.
I mean, their whole secondary has been playing really well for him. You know, he's a rangy safety that, you know, you have to be aware of where he's at when you're throwing the ball down the field, because he's getting involved in some plays that a lot of safeties can't.
Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals starting quarterback, talking about the addition to the Ravens defense of Marcus Williams, who has three picks. He's recovered a fumble. He's defended four passes. So he's been doing some good things. Mm-hmm. So his addition has been a bright spot to this Ravens defensive backfield. Now, you said in the open, Vinny, that you think the Ravens have good DBs.
I think the DBs are fine. I think the DBs...
Even though the pass defense statistics say otherwise.
Right. But the secondary's played well. I thought... Last week, the secondary played well. They didn't give up anything big, you know. To me, it's the linebackers and the pass rush.
Well, they got shredded against Miami, but the young guys may have had a lot to do with that.
There was three rookies on the field.
Whose snap counts have all kind of diminished over the last couple of weeks.
It was like, okay, what did we learn? Well, it's pretty easy to figure out what they learned.
Yeah, and we'll get into what Cincinnati does well offensively. Statistically, they're not lighting it up like they were oftentimes last year, especially down the end of the season when they rolled through the Ravens and Kansas City and through to the Super Bowl. But we'll break all of that stuff down in a big way. But Marcus Williams, I guess my question is, where would they be without him?
Oh, boy.
Forcing turnovers.
Yeah, that would be... Because, I mean, Bob, how many has he dropped, too? He's dropped a couple, too, that he's made, you know, plays on the ball. They got a center fielder. They got a guy that can play the ball, and they got a guy that can help and save corners. You know, he's a Pro Bowl-type safety. He's good. Him and then when the fans watch Bates this weekend, he's a stud, too. You know, I mean, we've seen some good safeties. The kid from Miami, Holland, he's really good, too. You know, so we've seen good safeties. But, yeah, without Marcus Williams, Bob, I mean, he kind of solidified it because you put a real stud back there. I mean, you got Humphrey who's playing good. You got Peters who's playing good. Williams is playing good. You know, Stevens can cover. He just can't find the ball, you know. And then Chuck Clark is, you know, kind of jack of all trades, kind of master at none. And the biggest disappointment is you thought the secondary would be really good, you know, because of the addition of Kyle Hamilton, and that hasn't been the case yet.
Right. And there was talk they were going to trade Chuck Clark because there was an embarrassment of riches.
They tried to trade him at the draft. Nobody wanted it.
At safety, and now Chuck Clark being around is probably beneficial in a big way to Baltimore. Real quick before we get to the phones, Andy Isabella. Going to sign with the Ravens here. Wide receiver late of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, he's like a burner. Like a really, really fast,
little
fast guy.
Teeny, tiny guy, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, see. Hey, Bob, I mean, we by got a lot of
in,
those.
Okay, but by bringing him in, what does this mean for others? Like Bateman might not play Sunday, who didn't practice. James Prochet's in the doghouse, Mr. August. I mean, what's going on here? Why the need for another wide receiver at this stage?
probably to practice. You know, I mean, you need them to practice. Because, Bob, you've got to have guys to practice on both sides. I mean, you need scout team receivers, too, to run the opposing team's plays. So I don't – how many receivers are on the practice squad? That would be the thing. Because if Bate, you know, is not practicing, you know, they don't have a bunch of receivers on the varsity. So they need some guys to run, you know, routes. Otherwise, you know, scout team DBs are running routes. And you don't get good looks. You know, that's the thing. You need good looks when you're playing like the Bengals this week.
They have two receivers on the practice squad, Benjamin Victor and Riley Webb.
Yeah. So, I mean, Bob, maybe they want to add some speed. We'll see. But you're right. Prochet is like a deep doghouse.
I mean, he just could not get in the good grade. I mean, he got hurt. We understand that. But it's been a slow, slow recovery, and he's been practicing.
I'm guessing that he's making some mental errors. That's, you know, that usually gets hard. Fumbling or making mental errors?
Real quick before we get back to the phones. Bateman, Campbell, vet day. Dobbins, Harbs basically said it was a planned day off. He's dealing with chest. Justice Hill, Houston, Peters vet day, did not practice. McCary was limited. Bynes fully. Stanley fully. So I'm guessing Bateman, dicey at best.
Yeah.
Hill, out. Probably not.
Out.
And what about Houston, though?
That's going to be that'll suck, Bob. I mean, because this is a bad offensive line that they're going up against, and they need pass rush because, I mean, we saw what Burrow can do to them, and Burrow, you know, I mean, you don't think Burrow's licking his chops? Finally, you know, we get the 32nd ranked pass defense, you know, and they're ranked that way for one reason, because of the rush, you know, and the young guys screwing up at the beginning of the year.
It's 88-80-105-7, the fan. Let's get out to the phones. Got the Ravens-Bengals. Ravens 3-point favorites coming up on Sunday night. Orioles season is over. They finish above 500 for the first time in 6 years. Optimism abound for the Birds of Baltimore, and I think it is warranted in a big way. Turtles hosting Purdue. Maryland trying to go to 5-1. Starting to stack some W's, hopefully, in the Big Ten. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, not much, man. Before I get to my points, man, Harbaugh got chilled his doghouse, man. We've been seeing this play out since 08, 09, man. Ever since he, you know, excommunicated Chris McAllister, man, I've always been leery about this man's doghouse. Not saying he's not a good coach, but sometimes his doghouse can get into the way of on-field production. That's just my opinion as a fan. But having said all that, man, just want to give my shout-out to the Orioles this year. You know, they did great. I predicted 75 wins, and, you know, I mean, they exceeded expectations. So next year I would like to see them in free agency go after a Taiwan Walker or that sort, because if they have the money, they got to show they can do it. And, Vinny, before I hang up the phone, I got to ask you this question as a GM. We all know what's going on with the whole Draymond Green situation with Jordan Poole, and, you know, it was a different time in sports when Jordan and Kerr got into a teammate's do this. Bill Romanowski on a little extreme level.
Oh, who's the Redskins guy? Michael Westbrook, KO'd Stephen Davis.
You took the words out of my mouth. Former MMA fighter and wide receiver, Michael Westbrook had a famous kerfuffle with Stephen Davis. You know what I mean? Where it ain't look good. It was a real beat that, I mean, it took a shock to a lot of people, but people were kind of dismissing this camp stuff. Now, as a GM, how do you deal with that? Do you look at it and say, okay, they're just getting ready for the season? Or is this something that you address kind of serious on the other side? And I'll call back tomorrow with my prediction for Sunday.
All right, Ray, thank you.
Yeah, you got to address it. You know, and that would be more so the coach would be addressing the situation.
If you missed it, Draymond Green apparently hit Jordan Poole.
Yeah, he punched him.
And they were like chest to chest talking trash. Draymond Green was suspended a couple of years ago for calling Kevin Durant a biatch, basically, on the bench. And, you know, he's had issues before, but, you know, assaulting a teammate. And look, I don't know what you people do for a living, but we all get into scuffles. It is what it is. For whatever reason, you yell, you scream, doesn't get violent. Once you get to the violence part, however,
yeah.
I guess lines are crossed. Old school, as Ray was saying, you shake it off, you move on. I mean, Mike Curtis threatened to kill Johnny Unitas at practice once because he threw the football at him.
Bob, how many fights, you know, do you get into practice in football? There's a lot of them, especially mm-hmm. during training camp and stuff. There's a ton of fights. I remember first practice William Floyd had, he went and KO'd Gary Plummer. Gary Plummer, I mean, and they were they were duking it out, you know, and George Seifert, you know, ended it right then. I mean, you know what? You talk it out, especially what you want to do is pool, you like Draymond Green, the veteran guy goes to the younger, hey, you know, I apologize. You know, that's what you hope happens, that they handle it amongst themselves.
It sounds like, however, Golden State's going to be forced to make a move here in regards to discipline. What that will be remains to be seen. I remember when Lou Piniella and Rob Dibble were fighting in the locker room,
yeah,
which is on TV. You could go to YouTube right now. Lou Piniella, manager of the team. That nowadays, that probably is unacceptable.
Right.
Getting into an altercation with your supervisor, your manager.
No, I don't think anything happened with Westbrook and Stephen Davis. Because when I went to the Redskins in 99.
That being kind of a sucker punch situation,
yeah,
too.
And because when I was at the Redskins in 99, Westbrook was a stud. And they both were awesome. Yeah, I mean, Westbrook was averaging like 20 yards a catch. And Stephen Davis was a Pro Bowl running back.
You saw Earl Thomas and Chuck Clark 2 years ago get into it. And Earl Thomas got thrown off the team.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it all depends on the circumstance and who the player is.
Bob, when the headache is bigger than the production, you get rid of the headache.
58 Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, film study of the Cincinnati Bengals. Won two in a row. They are the defending AFC champions. We get your phone calls as well at 410-583-1057. Your thoughts on the Orioles season. It's got to be thumbs up, I would think. Yeah, it was frustrating in September. Not winning games we thought they could win. Offense going down the tubes. But far exceeding anybody's wildest dreams for the season. Now the offseason begins, and I'm guessing when we talk about the Orioles in 2023, it's playoffs or bust.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
Ravens back at home Sunday night. Trying to break the 5-game losing streak, officially, 2 this year. Worst part about the 2 losses in 2022 is they were big leads. 17 against Buffalo, 21 twice against Miami. So trying to get off the schneid. Cincinnati Bengals come to town Sunday. They won 2 in a row. And last time they were here, second half especially, it was a track meet. But they've kind of righted the ship, or have they? Let's break them down offensively first. A little film study here.
All right, Bengals, you want offense or defense, Bob?
Let's do offense, because okay, that's who shredded them.
Yeah. Let me just give you – the Bengals are 2-2. And here's the thing I was telling Bob this morning. Now, they lost to the Steelers 23-20. And that's when they had Watt. So they had a hell of a defense. They had no quarterback, Trubisky. They lost to the Cowboys 20-17. Cowboys, good defense. No quarterback, Cooper Rush. They beat the Jets 27-12. Joe Flacco was the quarterback. They beat Miami 27-15 on a short week. And Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback for 3 quarters.
Yeah, Tua got KO'd.
So all the stats are a little bit off. All right, offensively, I mean, when I turn the film on, because, you know, yesterday Bob was saying on air that, you know, the sack total has dropped.
He's been sacked, Joe Burrow, 3 times last 2 weeks.
Right. And right now they're second in the league with 16 sacks. So, all right, so I flip on the film and I go, oh, they're playing Miami last Thursday. And I go, Jesus, criminy. I said, you know, the ball is coming out so quick. It's like a hot potato. He catches it and throws it. You know, I mean, it was catch it and get rid of it. Now, let me just talk to you about the offensive line. The offensive line includes 73. He has been there. Jonah Williams has been there. He was their first round pick in 19. He's athletic, but he sucks.
Other than that, everything's great.
Yeah. Left guard is 67, Cordell Volson. He's a 22 fourth-round pick. Non-athletic. Cannot move. And he's awful, too. The center, Ted Karras. He's little, and he stinks, too.
Yeah.
Non-athletic.
Patriots. Yeah.
Non-athletic. Pat. Right guard is Alex Kappa from Tampa. He's a non-athletic guy, too. Not very good. And Lael Collins from Dallas, 71, the right tackle. He's pathetic. Now, I can see why the Cowboys didn't want him back. He is non-athletic. He doesn't move either. I mean, none of them move. And running, run blocking, they're awful. They're averaging 3.1 per carry. They're 31st in the league in rushing. Average, 3.1. They've got one rushing touchdown. And rushing offense, they're averaging 89 yards. Joe Mixon averages 2.7 per rush. They come off, Bob, they come off, they're not knee benders. They're not explosive. They're not, you know, road graders. They just kind of ooze off, and they get no movement whatsoever. You know, and if Hayden Hurst is in there, you know, he's still not a blocker. Same Hayden Hurst. You know, they bring in 86 and 84, Wilcox and Asai, you know, to be kind of their... Asai's not a bad blocker, 86. But their run stuff, but watching the Miami, it was pathetic, the offensive line. I mean, they were down there twice Cincinnati, you know, in the red, inside the five. Couldn't gain an inch. I mean, they're handing it to Mixon, and they're not getting squat. So the offensive line is not good, you know, and the ball comes out so quick because they got to protect Burrow. I mean, at least they're doing that. You know, Joe, you got to get rid of the ball, you know, quick. And they did. You know, they got it to Hurst, and they get it to the wide receivers quickly on the outside or to Joe Mixon. But that offensive line is not good.
So the additions to upgrade have not panned out the way that they had hoped.
I don't know what they were, you know, what they were looking at. Because, you know, the thing with the Ravens' O-line was horrible last year, Bob. And they were a bunch of non-athletic dudes. And that's what the Bengals have. This year, the Ravens, if Ronnie Stanley's playing left tackle and say they put Makari at left guard, I mean, they're an extremely athletic group. And that's a good offensive line. And even if Makari's at the left tackle, you know, it's a good group. But the Bengals' offensive line is pathetic. I feel bad for Joe Burrow. He never has time to throw. He's always scrambling, you know. And that's going to be my number one key going. They got to pressure Joe Burrow. I mean, that's what it's going to be. If they can't get pressure, those receivers with Chase and Higgins and Boyd, they're extremely good. Extremely good. Now, Miami played press coverage, you know, like Miami did against the Ravens. They played press. They weren't getting a lot of separation. They hit a couple big plays is what they did. You know, that's what they did in the game. They hit a couple where Joe had some time, you know, a couple times. And they wore them down. I mean, that defense, you know, that was on the field 90 plays 3 days before that, you know, down in Miami, they just wore out in the fourth quarter. And then they just couldn't run anymore, and they couldn't stop them. But the receivers are outstanding. Hayden Hurst looks good, playing physical. You know, when he's running, he's the Hayden Hurst. He's catching a ball, caught a touchdown, had a nice physical run. But he's not a blocker. But he's better. I think he's better than what they had last year. So that was an upgrade. And Joe Mixon can't be Joe Mixon because Bobby's got 82 carries for 224 yards. The thing that's amazing is they keep running the ball. Bob, rushing attempts, they're seventh in the league with 117. Passing attempts, they're seventh. So, I mean, they're still running it, but they ain't getting anything, you know, because they can't move. You know, and I don't expect them to be able to knock the Ravens off the line of scrimmage.
And the Ravens haven't exactly been stout at stopping the run, at least based on Ravens' history.
You know what? These guys can't sustain blocks. Bob, if the defensive line, I think this is going to be a good game for Travis Jones in the run because these guys can't sustain. They don't have great balance and stuff. So if they can punch, lock out, shed, you know, Mixon's going to have a hard time in there. You know, and I think this is going to be a big, big, big day for Queen. Queen's got to be a blitzer in this game just because that offensive line. Because here's what I wrote down watching the film, Bob. Stunt twist on pass. Get O-line to move. You know, what you want to do with non-athletic guys is get them to move. And if you're stunting, you know, you're bringing O-way back inside and stuff and making these linemen move, you know, which they don't very well, you're going to create some holes up inside. And I think, you know, that's a way to get after them. They like, for them, okay, so how do you say, how do they get deep? How do the Bengals throw deep? Because they got all these great receivers. They like to play action pass on first down and max protect to take their shots. That's what they got to do right now. But if they get into the game and Joe's not getting pressured, oh my God, you know, then we could be 400 yards again.
So real quick, Vinny, before you hit the break, offensively, there's still potential, but they're not clicking.
You know what?
Yet.
When you watch them, Bob, I can't figure out what they're trying to do. I don't think, you know, because I think they've changed over the last couple of weeks and say, hey, we can't do what we were doing because he's getting killed, so we got to get the ball out quick. You know, rely on yak yards. So we'll see. I mean, the big thing is getting pressure on the quarterback, and then the DBs, Bob, they're going to have to tackle.
Later in the show, film study of the Bengals' defenses. They try to slow down a Ravens offense that up until last week's second half against Buffalo had been one of the most prolific in the National Football League. If you're on the phones, hang tight. We'll get you when we come back for Ted. 583-1057. It is Total Request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it starting at 11 o'clock. Get your votes in for featured artist Friday. Damon Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. He'll talk to us about Maryland's win last week against Michigan State. The big game coming up against Purdue. And basketball, it's October. That means practice. Ready to start. We'll talk to Damon about that and more here on The Fan.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Not good enough. Like I said, we're 32nd in pass defense, so I think we all got to step it up. I think accountability is huge. So, I mean, me especially, I just got to play better. We all got to play better.
It's Marlon Humphrey talking about the Ravens being accountable for the 32nd ranked pass defense in the National Football League. Ravens are 30th in total defense. We'll get full-on stat breakdown tomorrow. We'll break down some of Cincy's stats later in the show. Start a request Thursday. Is that Steve Miller Band?
It's listed as just Steve Miller, but yeah, Steve Miller the Steak.
Okay. The riff sounds like a Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh. I don't know. Maybe everybody borrows from one another, but Steve Miller, Total Request Thursday. Anything you want to hear loud play, or excuse me, get your song request in. And then get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. We'll start tabulating at the top of the hour. Let's get out to the phones. People want to talk. Go to East Baltimore. It's Jason. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, Uncle Bob, Uncle Vinny.
What's up? How you doing, bud?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes,
gotcha.
Sir.
All right, well, look. There's plenty of blame to go around. We all know that the Ravens could easily be sitting at 4-0 right now. We had double-digit leads, 2-3. Digit leads on our opponents, and they came back and beat us. But me being a Baltimore boy, a Baltimore native, Bob, I know you probably feel the same way. We got to witness one of the greatest linebackers to ever play the game in Ray Lewis.
Oh, no doubt.
We had other good guys like Bart Scott and, you know, et cetera. So we know what the importance of a quality linebacker play could bring to the team. So with that being said, I want to talk about Patrick Queen. This guy was a first-round draft pick. He could have had game-changing interceptions that would have killed the momentum, especially last week with Buffalo going into the half. They would have went in down 17 points instead of 10 points because Queen dropped the interception with nobody in front of him, just dropped it and then laid down. His NFL or football awareness is he doesn't have any instinct. I hear Vinny talk about instinct all the time. I'm trying to figure out this late in the season, I don't know if we can bring anybody else in. I don't know if we can trade him at this point. You definitely got to play him because you don't have any other options. What can we do with this guy? Like, you're talking about a whiff. Eric DaCosta made a huge mistake by drafting this guy. I mean, and I'm not calling for anybody's job or nothing like that. I'm just saying, I'm completely frustrated. Me and my kids watch it, and everybody's eyes are on number 6. On the defense, And this guy is horrible. And I, you should have seen Twitter after the game. Oh, my God. They roasted that guy. And I'm like, we had a chance to get Bobby Wagner. You know, here we go, not going all in, trying to save a buck. That always comes back to bite.
They were never getting, they were never going to get way. He was just using them. You know, his family lived in L.A. He's from L.A. He was always going to the Rams. So
I understand that. But, Vinny, you know, money talks. I don't know what they offered him, but, you know, I trust and believe. I know it wasn't as much as probably what, you know, he eventually settled for. But needless to say, Vinny, Bob, what can we do with Patrick Queen? Because I've been calling him PU instead of PQ. And it's ridiculous, man. I know that players are frustrated with him. They probably won't say it. But, you know, my aunt could have caught those interceptions he keep dropping, man. Then he overplaying guys. He was running right beside Josh Allen one play. And I'm like, dude, he got the ball. He overruns the running back. He takes poor positions. Like, what is that? What else is he practicing? Like, what is – I'm at a loss for words on what you guys
well,
talk about.
All right, Jason, thanks, man. All right, bud.
He just he's extremely inconsistent. And, what you know, they're allowing him to do what he does well. You see him blitzing a lot. Run – you know, when you see a linebacker – run blitzing a lot, to me, it kind of tells you the guy's not that instinctive because, you know, you're making the decision for him. You know, that's a big thing is, like, when you watch those Buffalo linebackers, they were fun to watch. You know, Edmonds and Milano, you know, they were good in pass coverage and they attacked and they ran and they took good angles. And, you know, how about Milano, you know, tackling in space Lamar one-on-one? You know, and we see Queen missing. A lot of times we just see him with the T-shirt left, you know, in his hand.
Yeah.
You know, that the biggest problem with Queen is he overruns things. He lacks instincts. You know, he's not great in pass coverage, you know, and he's not a great tackler.
And we talked about this yesterday, too. The Ravens are going to have to decide whether to pick up that fifth-year option.
I don't think, to me, you don't pick it up. You know, you don't want to. There's too many question marks on him, I think, Bob.
He'd have to have a Josh Jacobs, like, fourth year to get back in the good graces.
Yeah, even with Mike McDonald back, I mean, he's just too inconsistent. I mean, you're going to go pay him for what? You know, that's the thing. I don't know why. After four games, I wouldn't.
He's been, other than John Harbaugh, for this week, looking back at what happened against Buffalo, John Harbaugh's taking the brunt of the criticism. A lot of people want him fired. Queen's probably been culprit number two in the eyes of the listeners. We've had a lot of people call this week, say, get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. Forget about fifth-year options. Like, cut him now. But, I mean, is there more to the equation for him? I mean, if we're in this is what he is territory, it's not a good place to be,
right.
I would assume.
I think, yeah. Is he going to get better? He's Bob, like sometimes, like that Jets game, he played well. All right. But then like this past game, you know, like watching the film, you know, he'll go in stretches. Like I showed you those three plays. First three plays, like in the third quarter. It's like, what the hell is he doing? You know, the angles and this. What's he thinking about? You know, I mean, it was just, like, awful. And then he'll make some plays with, like, that was a help. But most of the plays that he shows up on and he makes, it's when he's a good blitzer and, you know, going to the quarterback. You know, and it's like, damn, that was a nice play by Queen. Or he hit the quarterback again. Yeah, he's blitzing. And a lot of times on the run plays he makes, he's blitzing. But his angles and his tackling and space is not good, you know. So I just think he's... Wait, you don't know what you're going to get down after down. And the second interception, the one he dropped, Bob, that was tipped. And, you know, I mean, that one was hard. I mean, you know, Ray Lewis probably not even catching it. But the one where he's going to catch it and go 99, that was a 14-point swing.
Yeah. Hey, Milano had one of those whiffs against Miami a couple of weeks ago for Buffalo, too,
yeah,
where he dropped a possible pick six
against the Dolphins. Right in his hands.
Let's get out to the phones. Go to Dundalk. It's Andy. Andy, you're on the phone with Vinny Haney and Nolan McGraw.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good morning.
How y'all doing today?
Good.
Doing good.
I got to tell you, I usually
super bash, terrific.
I usually bash John Harbaugh. He deserves it, you know.
There we go.
But anyway, I want to talk about the Orioles. I need someone to explain to me why the Orioles should not offer Aaron Judge. Just the Yankees offer him 230 or 230, whatever. The Orioles should just offer him $300 million for 10 years, guaranteed. And I want somebody to tell me, if Aaron Judge and his 60 home runs were on the Orioles this year, wouldn't we be the East winner? And wouldn't the Yankees be looking up at us?
All right, Andy, thanks for the call. Let's see. Why are they not going to offer Aaron Judge $300 million for 10 years, which, by the way, puts him at 41 years old at the end of that contract? Because they're really not in a position financially to make that sort of commitment to a player.
You're right. Because, Bob, the three teams that...
The brothers who own the team are suing one another right now.
Well, and Bob, the three teams, and you know better than I do, the three teams that supposedly have the most interest for him are going after him in free agency. Giants, big money, right?
He's from there.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, but yes, they have spending cash.
Mets.
Cohen.
One richest owner.
They have maybe, they're one of the highest payrolls in baseball.
And the Yankees.
History speaks for itself.
Yeah, he ain't going to Baltimore.
Yeah, I would be more inclined to see the Orioles lock up Adley Rutschman to a long-term deal, buy out his arbitration, get early into his free agency than offering Aaron Judge $300 million.
Yeah, I don't think, and Bob, I agree with you financially, but then Judge, I agree with you too, Bob, 10 years on a dude that's 31, you know?
Right, so you wanted somebody to tell you why they shouldn't? Well, you had two people
right.
tell you why they shouldn't. I'm sure a few more would be in line to do the same. When we come back, David Evans, Athletic Director, University of Maryland. He'll be joining us, Terps-Purdue, coming up Saturday at noon. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan. Basketball's about to start. Media Day's happening as we speak. As a matter of fact, Kevin Willard, his first year on the job, what's going to be happening? What are the expectations? Well, you won championships. I don't know if this is a realistic championship-level team, but a great recruiting class for next year. It could be a rapid ascent up the Big Ten standings. We'll talk to Damon about that and more here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.